Well, welcome to Local Matters. This is a special occasion. We have a special guest with us today. Jerry Boyd is Director of Schools for Putnam County and the leader of a pretty complex organization. Jerry, it's great to have you with us again.
Oh, great to be here again.
And I guess I would say one of the biggest organizations in Putnam County. Tell us about School Startup. It's startup time, and how are things going?
Going well. We week six of the school year, are getting there anyway, not quite, but so far from walking through the schools and seeing activity in the classroom, and we've had a few hiccups. We always do. I mean, and, you know, there's a lot, like you said, a lot of moving parts, and we just lean into our great leaders we have at the school level and our teachers in the classroom and everybody that supports them, and most issues we can work through and keep focused on what we need to be focused on, which is student learning.
And you mentioned great leaders. If you've got a great team in place, then it certainly makes your job easier, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, that's my main job, is to support them and make sure that they have the resources that they need, and also the vision and just the attitude, I guess.
Any big surprises in the launch of the school year?
No, you know, no great surprises. We did get our data from last year's assessment, our accountability data. You know, we had some good improvements from the previous year, and we actually, thankfully, had a chance to celebrate some schools that were identified as reward schools, some of the top achieving and growth schools in the state, and meeting those benchmarks. And then we had several other schools. They may not have met that level, but they certainly had some significant improvements. But still leaves some challenges for us, and no matter what level and no matter what the celebration is, there's always work to be done.
Well, there is, and there's always opportunity to improve, but we need to celebrate those reward schools when they're announced. What does it take to get to be a reward school in a given year?
Well, it's changed, and when the state started the identification, previously it was the top 5% in the state, and somewhat it's still in that neighborhood, but the metrics have changed how they come up with the score, and it looks more like a GPA. So every score based on different components, I mean, every school that achieves a GPA, so to speak, out of four, 3.1 or above, through achievement and growth and how they address the difficult areas of some subgroups, some minority groups and economically disadvantaged groups, how they make progress, they get a score assigned, and every school that achieves a 3.1 or better is identified as a reward school.
And by growth, you mean growth in how they've scored on the important elements in that the state is testing.
Yes.
Year to year.
Yeah, you know, there's things that as far as the state accountability model aren't measured, and we see growth in other ways, whether it's just the culture. We see a lot of improvement in some school cultures and so on, and classroom environments. But on the state level, in that measurement, it's based on previous year's outcomes, so to speak, in the tested areas. And there's a pretty elaborate calculation called value-added, Tennessee value-added assessment system, and it projects what they should make, and when students exceed or meet or exceed that, then they get a level of growth assigned to them. It's on a scale of 5, 1 through 5, and a level 3 growth means that student or that classroom or that school met at least what was anticipated, and that's expected, but sometimes it's difficult to get there.
Sure,
and
it is.
And then the schools that and classrooms and schools that meet the level 5 growth means they exceeded the average of the state significantly, and then of course a 4, they exceeded the average of the state, but not as much as a 5.
Yeah.
So everybody, you know, we're shooting for, we certainly want to have that annual growth and that level 3 growth. And there have been times, and as a district, we have not met that. But it certainly doesn't mean that learning didn't occur, and doesn't mean that great things didn't happen in our classrooms and in our schools. It just meant on that measure, we didn't meet it that year. And we certainly dig in deep, and we look at areas we might can definitely make improvements, and we work hard to do that.
That's a cause for conversation, isn't it, at that point?
Yes.
This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Director Jerry Boyd from the Putnam County Schools. Jerry, how many students are enrolled in Putnam County this year?
Well, as of today, including our pre-K classrooms, we have 11,976 students enrolled. And typically after Labor Day, so I expect, you know, this week we might get a few more. We usually see some enrollment spikes after Labor Day. There's a lot of people that live in other areas, particularly northern states and East Coast. You know, they still don't start until after Labor Day, so they roll into town and they're already surprised that we're in week six of our school year.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a large number. It's definitely more, a couple hundred more than last year. You know, we have some really tough areas where we have some packed classrooms. We may have to make some decisions in the next few weeks to be in compliance with the state, you know, ratios.
So
you
are
watching them closely.
Yeah, you've got some schools that are right at capacity then.
Okay. We have a couple that we do a color coding and we look at the average enrollments and grade bands, and we have a couple areas that are in red, and you know, means that it's probably going to require some action.
Well, how about that? How about that? And you serve in this county a pretty diverse group of students. There's certainly a lot of folks from different backgrounds, aren't there?
You know, and it's becoming more so as the years pass. You know, the greatest diversity we have is economic diversity. We have, a lot of families that are below the poverty line. And we have several that are right at it or above. And so the struggles that come with dealing with poverty. And then we have the other extreme. We have some families that, you know, really have the opportunities and the advantages of not being near the poverty line. But as far as our ethnic diversity, you know, our biggest minority group is our Hispanic families, our Hispanic population. It's around 15% of our population is our Hispanic population. Our African American population is just under 5%. And then we have a mixture of several other nationalities and ethnic backgrounds from all over the world. And we have some challenges too. You know, a lot of times we do have a English language learning program where we're families that don't speak English as their primary language, and they bring their children in our school system, and the kids may not. But it's not always Spanish. We have from Asia, the Middle Eastern countries, all over the world. So our EL teachers have to be able to navigate that and support students as they're learning English for the first time sometimes in our classrooms.
Have to be pretty multi-talented to be able to do that. Well, you've had a few weeks now. Your first impressions of the needs and challenges of the school system. Any big surprises?
No surprises in the sense of we have not at least seen the trend, and we're still trying to address it. I mean, we still have a long way to go on the number of students meeting grade level expectations, both in reading and math. And then when you get into the various subgroups of students, we really have to work together with our community and with our teachers and lean into some other partners across the state and find out how we can better serve students with disabilities in meeting grade level standards. And I know a lot of people, unfortunately, seem to, in the general public, just expect that they won't. But, you know, they can learn what they need to learn. We just have to find a way to better support them and our teachers in the classrooms. And we're going to continue to work hard to do that, raise that number of students that are meeting those grade level standards, not just in our subgroups, but in our all of our students.
We are talking to Jerry Boyd, the director of Putnam County Schools, and we've talked a little bit about a couple of schools near or at capacity. I know you're looking out in the future at building new schools. So talk a bit about your long-range planning and some of the schools that are on the horizon.
Sure. As far as some immediate measures, we have relooked at the enrollment zones and looked at the capacity of the elementary schools that are in these enrollment zones. And the enrollment management committee studied this for several months, and they've made some recommendations. And actually, we'll be implementing some of those adjustments in the next school year. So we announced that last spring, kind of give a heads up, so to speak, and work towards those changes. We expect some of these packed areas and hot spots that will address some of that. But long term, overall, our district is still, when we look at every potential classroom and seat in the district across all grade levels, you know, we're at around 85% capacity. And that's the whole school system. We have some schools that are above 90%, and we have some schools that are below 85%. But overall, that's a pretty high number to have schools that could, you know, overall 85% capacity. So the next phase is the elementary school, and we've begun, the board hired an architect, and they're beginning the preliminary design phases to build a Southwest Elementary School. A decision that's going to have to be made soon is do we, you know, and it's been discussed the whole time, do we commit and follow our plan of a pre-K-4, or do we think about maybe that facility might need to be a pre-K-8 facility?
Including a middle school.
Yeah, to include the grades in 5-8. Maybe it might not look exactly like the Prescott South Campus, which is a pre-K-4 and a 5-8 campus. It may look more like a pre-K-8 school all in one. But that'll be a board decision. But some of it is we bought some property, and it's a really nice piece of property, but we bought it at a really affordable price, and we knew some of the area of the property of the 45 acres could not be utilized without some extensive cost in developing that property. So we're looking at, you know, something that can sustain a pre-K-4 without a doubt. And right now we're studying to see, you know, could we expand that to a pre-K-8?
Right. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Jerry Boyd, the director of Putnam County Schools, and we are going to take a quick break and be back in just a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Jerry Boyd, the director of Putnam County Schools. And Jerry, it's school startup time. You've got a lot of things launched already. But I know when you go home at night, you still think about school security. It's just something that seems to be on the news every week. So what kind of things does a county school director think about at that point?
Well, you know, you always want to make sure we're in a constant state of planning and preparation, you know, to act if the unwanted event happens. You know, nobody wants anything like a crisis to happen that involves any community, part of our community, but especially our school and our children, our teachers, and everyone there. So, you know, are we prepared? You know, have we done enough? And honestly, you never can do enough. You have to continuously look for moments to improve. And so that's on my mind about school security. I mean, I feel good about the planning that we have and the partnerships we have in our community. We're very blessed with the ties and the working relationship we have with all the emergency responders, the first responder agencies, with our law enforcement agencies. So, and they're continually thinking about these things too. I mean, that's a big part of their job. So we want to make sure we're connected with them and that we routinely come to the table together and do some planning on the what ifs, and then just to have that in the front of our mind if we do have to face such a terrible event, you know, that unfortunately too many have had to face.
And you're planning a fairly elaborate drill on that coming up, right?
Yes, the drill is coming up in the community. There'll be press releases, and it'll involve a school. It'll involve 911. It'll involve law enforcement, fire, you know, all of the various responding agencies. It's not just a school drill. It's a community drill in a crisis response. So, you know, it certainly by some can be viewed as disruptive, but, you know, I think it's important to do these things and
Absolutely.
Involve all these agencies because it helps us respond better and helps them respond better. And it's an after we run through all of these drills or this drill, we'll sit down at the table and look at, you know, where did we maybe make mistakes, and we want to avoid those mistakes in a real life crisis.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity to learn, and it's certainly better to learn in a drill than in the real thing.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot the date. It's currently set, unless it changes, September 24th.
Okay.
But there'll be messages going out through media, and I think they're going to do reverse 911 calls to the area just to make sure people know this is a drill. And our schools will be contacting, communicating to the parents through our portals about the drill, just to remind them, hey, it's a drill, and let them know as much as we can.
That's great, and we want to communicate with everyone about it, but it's important that you're doing it. So I'm glad you are. Well, you also have been a really big part of an important partnership called the Highlands Workforce Development Task Force. And I know right now you're leading an effort to especially focus on developing future teachers. So talk about teacher shortages and talk about what is being done to look to the future for teacher education.
Well, like we've done now for probably over 7 years, maybe even longer, if you in our involvement with the regional economic development in the Highlands, we started out, we identified areas for jobs, regional jobs, and you know, we looked at IT, information technology, and advanced manufacturing engineering, health sciences. Those are the big ones, but in every community, no matter how big or how small, education is there, and we are faced in public education, professional educators, with a very evident looming shortage of teachers. And not just because of retirements, it's because fewer people are going into our profession. There's a lot of reasons for that. A lot of it is the job has changed dramatically, and the pay has not. I mean, pay's always been an issue in our profession. As far as we don't pay our teachers enough, but as we've added more expectations to our teachers and our principals, and we've added more time, expectations of time, but not really more time that they're paid, they're just expected to do it, and it's also under the same salary conditions. So, you know, people look at that and they're like, I don't know that I want to do that. It may be it is a very noble calling, but, you know, people have to feed their families. They want to raise and they raise a family comfortably as much as they can, and they go to many years of education, and there's other areas that they start out with at a much higher rate and the same education. So a lot of that goes into people's decisions, and thankfully we have many, many educators in the past and even now that they make a decision, that's my calling, it's a mission, and I want to do this. But, you know, that doesn't mean they shouldn't be paid better. That doesn't mean we should take advantage of them and expect them to work when they're not paid. It means that the job has changed, and we have to change that messaging in the community and across the Tennessee and across the nation about, you know, why people should go into teaching. And that's really the role we're going to start in the Upper Cumberland, changing the narrative. You know, some of that is our own profession. You know, teachers and administrators, educators sometimes are they message the wrong message to people that are thinking about going into education. And we want people to know that it's a great profession. It has great impact to the community. It's needed. It's necessary. And we're going to continue to work hard to elevate the importance and the respect level of our teachers and the profession.
Well, that's an important role. What age levels are you going to, or grade levels are you thinking about starting with?
Well, right now, you know, we do have a teacher as profession program that in our high schools, and that's really to get students interested, like our other career programs. It's to give them an opportunity to engage and then move into the next phase after high school and then become a teacher. So high school right now, but, you know, there are discussions about, as we do career exploration, even in elementary school, the teachers may be taken for granted, but we might need to be more deliberate in letting our students that might be interested know what's all involved mm-hmm. in becoming a teacher. And so we probably will begin including teaching as a profession in our earlier grades, like we do. You know, they explore being an engineer, they explore being a medical doctor, they explore being a welder, they explore all these different areas, and teaching should be right there.
I agree. It should be. We are talking to Jerry Boyd, the director of Putnam County Schools. And Jerry, in addition to the teacher preparation and the teacher education pathway, there are some other pathways that Putnam County Schools have been really active with also. I know you have participated in the advanced manufacturing pathway quite a bit. Talk a bit about the importance of that pathway.
Sure. You know, that really, that conversation really intensified around the needs from our regional businesses and the industry that's in this area. And the fact that people's view of, say, advanced manufacturing, working in a, quote, factory, people have the wrong perception of what it looks like. You know, they still look at it as this dirty environment, and everything that's worthwhile is hard work. I mean, it's still hard. It's going to be hard work. But people don't understand the complexity and the technology that's in a lot of our manufacturing industries in the region. And so we engaged with our employers and realized that we need to bolster that pipeline of high school students really interested. So we partnered with TCAT, the Tennessee College of Applied Technology in Livingston, and we actually have a state-of-the-art mechatronics lab at Coville High School where students can engage on actual equipment, robots, and programming and line type things that you will see in a high-tech manufacturing plant.
So they get hands-on with this equipment.
They get hands-on, and they have a chance at some point to earn an industry certification. So when they walk out of high school, even if they don't go into a four-year college or a two-year college, they have something tangible that they actually could get a really high-level entry-level job at some of these manufacturing plants in maintenance, you know, line maintenance, or even programming and main, you know, not just maintaining, but actually being a part of the logistics of running those lines. With the intent, they need to continue their education and get more training to move on through the pathway in their career.
Yeah, and that continuing education may happen in a year or 5 years or mm-hmm. whenever, but they're ready for a job and they're well trained.
They're well trained, and you know, on the other side of that, we have an engineering program that's vibrant and it's a pre-engineering. Some of our students that are in the engineering pathway in our high schools, they also are in the mechatronics, so they're seeing both sides of it. They're seeing from the development, the design, the idea phase to the actual work and application phase. So that's really exciting. And then we have health science. We have, you know, we start out with is we have nursing assistant program where they can get in, you know, a CNA, certified nursing assistant, mm-hmm. and be employable. But those that want to go on, whether a 2-year program, become an LPN, and or those that want to be a registered nurse or even more, you know, medical doctor, they get practical experience. They start in high school and it's something we engage them and get them in the pathway early.
That's great. And the fourth pathway is IT and
yes.
information technology. You do good work there too.
In cybersecurity, we're still trying to, you know, build that bridge, a stronger bridge with the cybersecurity efforts at Tennessee Tech, which is a national, probably worldwide, well-known program.
Very well-known.
So we have a fortunate neighbor. You know, fortunately, we have great neighbors and partners, and we want our kids to engage and have those opportunities.
Well, that's great. So those four pathways are really going to help our students be prepared for their next steps, wherever those next steps take them.
And those are highlighted because of regional needs. There are other areas and opportunities in our high schools and in the region, but those were high priority areas across the region for workforce development. So we wanted to match our efforts at the high schools with the needs of the industries in the region.
Well, that's great. Well, maybe the last question we have time for, we want to get you back, but we're talking to Jerry Boyd from Putnam County Schools, and students are always excited this time of year in startup, and maybe for some a bit overwhelmed and a bit worried. What kind of tensions do they face, and what do you tell them at this point?
Well, you know, that's something that's increased over the years, even going back to the teachers going into the job. I mean, there's more social-emotional challenges with our students coming to us, and teachers are having to help and support and manage those even more. a lot of anxiety. We have a lot of students to just being in a large setting, in the hustle and bustle of just a middle school, high school. We have a large number of students that get to the point their anxiety level gets so high that they really have a hard time coming to school. So
wow.
We've explored a lot of alternatives to help connect them with, you know, the process as much as we can, but respect their needs and try to find ways to help them through that.
We have been talking to Jerry Boyd, the Director of Schools for Putnam County. Jerry, thank you for the great work that you're doing, and thank you for taking time to come in and be with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.